your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope you all enjoyed those first two segments with Mike Larson. We are now chatting with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago. Now, Dana, we're going to stick to at least initially general comments on these U.S. equity markets. We covered a lot of the rotation out of growth into value that we are seeing early on this year and at the tail end of last year. But there's something that we are chatting about off mic that just deals with the early on trading that we see pretty much every year within these markets. You were outlining these wild swings and just reallocation of capital that is natural to see very early on in a new year. Dana, take us through your assessment of what always happens early this year and how you try to trade around that.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Corey. Well, you know, because of obviously tax considerations, other considerations, there are huge moves that happen towards the end of the year, whether it's tax loss selling or whatever. And then on the flip side, once the calendar flips, there's big money that is going to move in the other direction. So it's not unusual to see abrupt trend changes right at the new year, first week of the year. Sometimes we see, you know, like we saw this year, the Santa Claus rally typically or historically lasts through the first 2 days of the year. And actually it was dead on this year. But once that calendar turns, there's a lot of money that's been made, that's been waiting to move in one direction or another. You see these major trend shifts. You see these abrupt price moves across all the financial markets. So it's something that, as a money manager, I know is coming. It's hard to predict which markets are going to move which way. So you can be a trend follower, like the end of the day, that's basically the crux of our relative strength system, is, you know, basically following trends and staying in the strong areas. But the challenge is at the new year, I know that there's going to be major cross currents and trend shifts and mean reversion type moves. And it's hard to kind of predict prepare for exactly where that's going to happen. So for trend followers, it's kind of a choppy, this kind of choppy environment is kind of a challenge for us. And this, the beginning of the year here is no different. Everyone talks about, okay, this shift now, this rotation back into value and away from growth. Who's to say, you know, that's not just the, you know, machination because of the shift and the turn in the new to the new year? You know, why? Who's to say that's not money that was waiting to go in that direction because it was so skewed in the opposite direction leading into the year end? So who's to say it's that versus, you know, a permanent shift from growth to value? Because we've talked about that, you know, half a dozen times I can remember over the last year or two, where people were sure, okay, after a decade, I know this is the shift from growth to value because it's way overdue. And that rug has been pulled out from underneath that shift every time. So is this the time when it finally sticks? I have no idea. We're going to follow, you know, the data and follow the charts. And if it is, then we'll be on board with it. If it's another head fake, then maybe we get chopped up temporarily. But for us, given the new year considerations regarding how prices often move at the new year, it gives me pause in declaring that this is definitely that time when growth moves into value. I have a hard time not thinking, okay, maybe some of it has to do with the new year.
Well, Dana, because your fund that you manage and just all the investors that you coach, you're focused on the quantitative, the technical analysis, the data crunching, looking for trends. When you see something like this, where there's a narrative going around, and it's pretty heavy in the economic markets right now, that everything is shifting from growth to value, as you outlined. But we were talking off mic about a lot of people will take a position like that, plant their flag, so to speak, and then they're going to be a long-term buy and hold investor. And if it goes against them, they just keep averaging down and just keep sticking with that trade, sometimes to their own detriment. But you're taking more of an actively managed portfolio. How do you make the shifts to a general trend like that in your quantitative models when you see that there is some shift from growth to value? How do you know when it's the right time to get in and ride the trend? And then how do you know when it's the right time to get out and go, hey, we're rotating again. And for anybody that's sticking around, it's time to rotate.
The latter portion is the key. How do you know when you're wrong? You know, we've got quantitative models that help us stay in the relative strength. Sometimes there's whiplash among there. It's never perfect. It is designed to be on the intermediate term, which we call, you know, 2 to 6 months or more. So it's not constant, but there is a quantitative component to it, certainly. And we use the charts to kind of back up what our models are seeing. So there's always objective quantitative reasoning evidence behind the moves that we make. And if those sometimes those change, they've changed, frankly, over the last few months. We've seen quite a bit of fluctuation within our models and within some of the relative strength readings. So sometimes those things change. Our advice is if they change, change with it. Don't, avoid the anchoring bias where you come up with a narrative or you come up with or you put on a position and you stick with it because being right is more important than making or avoiding losses. Sometimes you just got to say, okay, well, the evidence has changed. I'm changing with it. I was wrong. The model was wrong for now. And we're shifting gears again. You got to be able to know when you're wrong. Take a quick loss before, like you said, it becomes, you know, a long-term loss because you're too stubborn to admit that you're wrong or the model was wrong, which, I mean, no system in the world is perfect. Sometimes the models are going to be wrong, and taking those quick losses is more important than, you know, trying to stick with it and eventually be proven right, which can be very financially hazardous to one's health.
Yes, it can be. And sometimes you won't be right for decades, and that can just crush a portfolio. But Dana, look, you are agile with the funds that you manage. And tail end of last year, you were mentioning that, look, it was a tougher market. You were looking to hit singles, not triples and home runs. So really just looking for some short-term opportunities. What's the strategy in 2022? Because quite frankly, even though the tail end of last year was choppy for the markets, the markets did just continue to hit all-time highs. So what's the strategy for this year?
Well, yeah, you're right. After the huge post-election rally of a year ago, from basically last spring to October or so, basically the markets, by and large, went sideways. That's when we're, you know, playing that two-way market, hitting singles. In October, once we saw the breadth improvement, we saw charts gearing up for breakouts and maybe that next leg higher. We did start swinging for the fences a little bit, and then we saw a very unusual rug pull in November. We saw breath go from, you know, hitting new highs to falling off the table, which is historically very rare. It's almost unprecedented to see the breath and the internals fall off the table like that. So again, that's one instance where, okay, we were wrong on betting that that breakout would be sustainable and move to a new up leg in the markets, especially in the broad markets. You know, the large caps have held up better and have grinded it out to new highs, but the broader market fell off the table. The small caps fell off the table. And again, you have to have some sort of objective criteria to say, okay, that was wrong. We got to shift gears again. And since the breath fell off the table there, we've been certainly less than aggressive in the equity market, and we're still less than aggressive. We are still happy to be invested in across several areas of the market that are still strong. They're still technically in good in constructive patterns. But given the breath fall off in the broader market, we are definitely less than aggressive right now. So trying to play kind of both sides of the market, you know, be more aggressive, keep buying the dips in those strong areas of the market. But when something breaks down, get out of it, or even try shorting some of the areas of the market, hedging some of the areas of the market when they rally up into some resistance. Because again, the indices, and, you know, I'm not the first one to say this, the indices are really masking some of some widespread deterioration below this, under the surface in the broader market. We've seen lots of stocks down 20, 30, 40%, even with, you know, the large cap averages hanging up near all-time highs. And, you know, as a relative strength manager, that's fine. I can be largely concentrated in that large cap area of the market. That doesn't mean you got the breath falling off. Doesn't mean you have to exit the market wholesale when you do have some areas of the market hanging strong and still hitting new highs. But in the back of your head, you have to have, you know, one finger on the switch once those last bastions that have held out and are hitting new highs, once those roll over, then this thing could get a little bit more serious.
Yeah, Dana, you make the case well there that even sometimes if the indexers are doing quite well, the individual stocks or even certain sectors within those indexes may not be. At one point in December, the average NASDAQ stock was down about 40%, which was not what the NASDAQ index was saying. So there's still people that could have their clocks cleaned if they were positioned wrong. Since you do kind of drill down into which sectors are moving and which ones are not, which ones are you most bullish about as we at least go into the first quarter here of 2022 that are sustaining some momentum? And then which sectors are you avoiding?
Well, I can tell you, but in 2 weeks, it's probably going to be the opposite. So I don't know. I don't know if it's even worth it. No, that's been a challenge because we've seen this constant rotation for a while. The rotation was not as damaging because it was most things were going higher for the most part last year. Even the laggards, you weren't getting hurt that bad. Now it's we're seeing a little bit more violent swings. And again, maybe some of that has to do with the new year. But you've seen, you know, obviously those value sectors, you're seeing the financials and energy, which were clear laggards coming into the towards the end of the year. Those have broken out above, at least to some degree, above some key technical levels. And those look poised to lead. Is that going to be sustainable? I don't know. But the financials and energy certainly look much better than they looked, you know, a month ago or so. And then you have some of the older relative strength names that are still hanging in there. They haven't totally broken down. Some of the technology areas. Some are getting their clock clean, but some of the areas in tech are still holding up. Semiconductors are holding up still. Healthcare still, you know, is in a drawdown right now over the last week or two, but still has not broken down. So we still have some money there. Some of those defensive names that a couple weeks ago were quote unquote the new relative strength, like real estate, the REITs, consumer staples, some of those defensive names. Still holding up well, pulling back right now, but still, you know, I would say in the broader scheme of things, still in a constructive position. So there's no shortage of areas of the market that are still constructive. But like I said before, if this thing does, if those last bastions do roll over and break some support levels, then this thing could be get kind of serious. And there's probably be nowhere to hide at that point, at least on a temporary basis. But right now, we've still got long allocation in several sectors. The question is whether they're going to hold up now or not.
Dana, are there any sectors that you are flat out avoiding that you either don't like how they're set up or you just don't understand simply that, you know what, it's just not worth even the time to try to play those sectors?
Well, some of the tech sectors that worked very well for us last year have certainly broken down. And then on a broader basis, I would say small caps in general are clear losers right now. So that would be one area of the market that I would be avoiding or even hedging with. Now, January can be a tricky month in the markets, not just the first week or so. January in general can see a lot of different cross currents. So that could change again. You know, we're kind of in flux right here. But, you know, we run the risk of being chopped up a little bit more in the short term by playing this rotation game and playing the long short game right here. Once we're through, usually January, things get a little bit more, I don't want to say predictable, but reliable based on, you know, our models and the charts. But for right now, I would say small caps obviously are indicative of that broader internal deterioration that we've seen and certainly the biggest concern of ours right now.
Okay. Dana, always great having you on the show, buddy. Really appreciate all of your comments and just something for everyone to consider. Early on trading usually is pretty wild at the start of a year, and we don't know what the trends are going to be. But fact of the matter is there's a lot of money sloshing around that system. So we all need to, I think, not take too much of a bias into these markets and understand sometimes your narrative can be wrong, and that doesn't mean you should stick to a position forever. Dana, thank you again for your time, buddy. Hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
You got it. Thanks a lot, guys.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.